This podcast brought to you by Gowin Canada, makers of Edge Microactive pre-emergent herbicide.
620 CKRM is proud to be your voice for everything ag. Welcome to SaskAg Today with your host, Ryan Young.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to SaskAg Today. It's brought to you by Milligan Bio, the leading buyer of heated and damaged canola in Saskatchewan, wants to buy your seed. Visit MilliganBio.com. Lots of ground to cover on today's show, starting with the Competition Bureau saying the Viterra-Bunge merger would reduce competition. It's been a little while since we heard that story, and we'll have more details right after the break. But elsewhere on today's program, Saskatchewan's trade minister commented on last year's trade missions and exports during a scrum the other day. And the farm weather is in its usual spot at the bottom of the hour. We'll have Eric Weglars from Precision Weather filling in for Phil Spivak today. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM. Up first is the Competition Bureau's report on the proposed Viterra-Bunge merger.
This is Sask Ag Today with 620 CKRM Ag News Director Ryan Young.
Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Johnston's Grain, your first and last stop for grain pricing and crop protection. And Farm Fresh Water. To fix your water problems, visit farmfreshwater.ca. The Competition Bureau says it is likely that Bunge's $8.2 billion deal to acquire Viterra would substantially reduce competition in the grain and canola oil markets. In a report to Transport Minister Pablo Rodriguez, the Bureau says the deal is likely to hurt competition in markets for grain purchasing in Western Canada, as well as for the sale of canola oil in Eastern Canada. It also says Bunge would influence the behavior of G3 Global Holdings, a major competitor to Viterra. Bunge is a minority shareholder of G3, which operates grain elevators in many of the same regions as Viterra. U.S.-based Bunge announced a deal last year to buy Viterra for $8.2 billion in cash and shares. Transport Canada has until June 2nd to complete a public interest assessment and provide it to the minister. The final decision regarding the proposed transaction will be made by the federal cabinet based on advice from the minister. Trade and Export Minister Jeremy Harrison was in Saskatoon today, or the other day rather, holding a news conference explaining the value of overseas trade missions to the provincial economy. The provincial government has been criticized for conducting trade missions to Southeast Asia and the Middle East. Harrison noted a trade mission to Vietnam in December 2022 paid big dividends to the Saskatchewan economy. The federal government wanted to resolve an issue with Vietnam regarding $150,000 of blueberries from Prince Edward Island before talking about an issue impacting wheat trade with Vietnam.
Both their trade and their ag minister, the first issue they raised was we want to buy more wheat from Canada, really Saskatchewan in a tangible way. We want to buy more wheat. There's an issue that exists. We want to resolve the issue. But Canada wants to talk about blueberries before they'll talk about wheat. And it was actually kind of surprising, I guess would be a mild way of putting it. Our officials and I, who were in these initial meetings, we knew there was an issue with resolving the wheat export phytosanitary issue, but we weren't quite sure what it was. And we found out very quickly from the Vietnamese what it was. We made clear our view as a province, which is that we need to resolve this wheat issue ahead of the $150,000 blueberry issue that you're seeking to leverage to have the wheat issue resolved. I would say that the embassy were quite helpful in that regard, but we had some very good discussions with the Vietnamese ministers at that level politically, and it was dealt with quickly, and they were very grateful. In fact, the ambassador was just here a couple of weeks ago talking about how we were able to resolve this publicly, and it has resulted for the Vietnamese. I mean, they did want to diversify where they were purchasing their wheat from, and, you know, understandably, in the aftermath of the Russian invasion of Ukraine, why they wanted to do that, to have a secure food supply. And, you know, we're going to be seeing nearly $200 million in wheat exports from Saskatchewan to Vietnam this year.
That's Saskatchewan's Trade Minister Jeremy Harrison. Saskatchewan agri-food exports to all countries totaled more than $20 billion last year. We're going to take a break here on Sask Ag Today, but right after that, we'll have a feature on Farm Credit Canada as It is April 23rd, so right around this time, it usually means they have applications open for the AgriSpirit Fund. We'll hear more about the criteria and what it's used for right after this.
We're back with Sask Ag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Municipal Hail Insurance, farmers insuring farmers. See municipalhail.ca. It's that time of the year again as Farm Credit Canada is accepting applications for its AgriSpirit Fund. $1.5 million is available for registered charities, nonprofit organizations, and First Nation, Métis, and Inuit communities in rural Canada who apply for the fund. FCC's Manager of Community Investment, Carla Warnica, says eligible projects can get between $10,000 and $25,000 for capital projects that will enrich the lives of residents in their communities.
Past projects include everything from greenhouses to community gardens or other agriculture and food-related projects. We've also done a lot of work with things like refrigeration or equipment upgrades to support things like food waste reduction or recovery. Done some projects that improve accessibility and inclusion, and things like upgrades that might reduce a building's energy footprint, for example.
She mentioned a few Saskatchewan communities who utilize the AgriSpirit Fund for their respective projects.
Recently, we did a project in Fort Capel. We did a refrigeration and food preservation equipment we purchased from them for a community kitchen. We did another one in Melville, where we upgraded the LED lighting for one of their community halls. Another example would be the Kynaston Soto Nation 91, where we purchased a greenhouse and some community gardens.
Warnica says the fund is a handy tool for rural communities, given how difficult it can be to obtain money.
We have heard that it's absolutely having an impact. You know, there's sometimes accessing funding can be tricky, particularly in rural communities where there are perhaps less organizations that are available to provide that support. So that's why this is focused on rural communities and knowing that the access to funding can be a little bit more challenging. So that's why we really encourage those rural communities to come forward if they've got those projects and take a look at the FCC AgriSpirit Fund and see if we can assist them with their projects in their communities.
And it also comes at a time when all the talk in the ag sector has been around sustainability and climate change.
Yeah, you know, we see organizations across the country working on being more sustainable, and this is an opportunity for them to access some funding to meet their sustainability goals. We're hoping to partner with these organizations and to do exactly what you'd said, look at reducing their energy footprint or rescuing food. There's an opportunity here to access some funding to help them meet those objectives.
The deadline to apply is May 15th, and information on how to apply can be found at fccagrispiritfund.ca. We'll take another break here, rather, on Sask Ag Today. Coming up next is Ag Review with Doug Faulkner, followed by Precision Weather with Eric Weglars.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Today's Ag Review with Doug Faulkner of GX94 is brought to you by Karst Holdings in Assiniboia and Schlamps Integra Tire in Grenfell, your locally owned Integra Tire dealers, and Migraine Exchange. Ready to market your 2023 crop? Head over to migraineexchange.com and try their low-risk grain auctions.
Grain trader Archer Daniels Midland said on Monday that the chief financial officer, Vikram Luthar, will resign from his role effective September 30th. Luthar is the highest level executive to leave the firm since it disclosed accounting issues within its nutrition division that later triggered two government investigations and forced it to revise 6 years of financial data. ADM had put Luthar on administrative leave in January as it launched an internal investigation focused on accounting practices involving the smallest of its three business units. The company said Luthar will receive $743,419 in cash performance incentive award for 2023 and shares awarded in 2021 that were tied to company performance. He will remain at ADM in a non-executive capacity until his resignation date to provide transitional support as the company searches for a new CFO. Bayer confirmed its full-year forecast for earnings and cash flow on Monday, despite slow business at its crop science and consumer health divisions. CEO Bill Anderson reiterated that 2024 earnings before interest, taxes, depreciation, and amortization, adjusted for one-off items and currency swings, would decline between 3 and 9%, and that free cash flow would reach 2 to 3 billion euros, up from 1.3 billion last year. Anderson will face investor questions at the AGM over his decision in March to pause plans to break apart the German diversified group, which includes a large pharmaceuticals business, for up to 3 years. He has said he would instead focus on a management overhaul, debt reduction, and fending off litigation. The European Parliament voted today to back a year-long extension to tariff-free trade for Ukrainian farm produce, while introducing new curbs on the level of imports to assuage protesting EU farmers. It will now apply from June 6th after clearing this final procedural hurdle. The tariff liberalization, dating from June of 2022, was designed to help keep Ukraine's economy afloat as it battles Russia's invasion. The curbs means Ukraine will earn 331 million euros less from exports to the EU than in 2023, compared with 240 million in an original European Commission proposal. What might have been a routine rollover initially proposed in January turned into a drawn-out debate on the new curbs as protests by EU farmers mounted, notably in Poland. And that's today's Ag Review. I'm Doug Falconer.
It's your SaskAg Today weather on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The official 620 CKRM Farm Precision Weather is brought to you by Shepherd Realty in Regina, specializing in farm and ranch real estate in Saskatchewan. Call Harry, Justin, or Devin at 352-1866. And Moose Jaw Truck Shop, the number one choice for any diesel engine repair. Drop in, no appointment necessary, or visit moosejawtruckshop.com. I'm here with Eric Weglars from Precision Weather, filling in for Phil Spivak today. And Eric, looking at the forecast today, looks like we got a little bit of everything from sunny skies to a high of up to 23 degrees later on in the week.
Yeah, we do. It's turning mild as expected and fairly quickly. That looks to be a bit of a theme here going forward in the forecast. So we'll take it, and the sunshine too will continue for the next few days. So this afternoon, it's bright outside already. We're expecting that to continue. Remains mild. Temperatures up around 16. No chance of rain today, which is nice. Winds from the southeast at 15 to 25. A bit of a breeze, but not too much. Clear skies are expected early tonight. There will be a few high clouds that build in mainly after midnight. Lows are cool, around 2 for the overnight low. Winds remain from the southeast at 15 to 25. We'll find sunshine early in the day on Wednesday. There is the risk for a few higher clouds through the afternoon. And as you mentioned, temperatures are surging as we go into the middle of the work week here, up to 20 tomorrow afternoon. Winds remain from the southeast at 15 to 30. We'll find clouds increasing overnight into Thursday, a bit warmer too. Lows will range between 7 and 9, and the warmest lows will be found where the clouds are most persistent overnight. Winds remain from the southeast at 15 to 30, and the warmest day over the next 5 or so is actually Thursday. Under a blend of sunshine and clouds, highs reach 23 to 24 through the afternoon. Friday will feature more sunshine, a bit cooler as winds pivot to the northwest, highs at 17. It will continue the brief cool down into Saturday, highs up at 12 under partial sunshine before more warmth returns for the end of the weekend and into early next week.
Good stuff, Eric. Thank you very much. Normal highs for this time of year, 15 degrees. The lows are around 0. The sun rose in Regina at 5:47 this morning, and the sun will set at around 8:07 this evening. Taking a look around the province in Assiniboia and Saskatoon, 16 degrees. Moosomin, Yorkton, and Melville are at 11. Estevan, 12. Saskatoon, or rather, excuse me, Weyburn is at 13. Already mentioned Saskatoon at 16. The warm spot in the province belongs to North Battleford at 18.1 degrees, and the cold spot way up in Uranium City at 3.5 degrees. Here in Regina, it's mainly sunny. west-southwest wind at 9 kilometers an hour, humidity way down to 28%, temperature 15 degrees or 58 Fahrenheit, and the barometric pressure is at 101.9 and falling. Down the road in Moose Jaw, mainly sunny also, northwest wind at 21 to 31 kilometers an hour, and the temperature at 17 degrees. Again in the Queen City, mainly sunny, west-southwest wind at 9, and the temperature 15 degrees. Take another break, but coming up next is the Cattle Market Update.
Catch up with all your ag news anytime at saskagtoday.com. Now, back to Saskag Today with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
This portion of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by McDougall Auctioneers, where you're guaranteed the best buying and selling experience. McDougallAuction.com. Feeder steer prices in Saskatchewan were up compared to the heifers, which were mixed. Provincial cattle specialist Fonda Froat says the week-over-week changes are what they are due to limited sales of cattle last week.
For steers, there was just two categories reported. Both categories were up compared to the prior week. 600 to 700 pound feeder steers averaged 398 per hundredweight, and this was up 937 compared to the prior week. And the average price for the 700 to 800 pound steers also increased compared to the previous week by 250 per hundredweight to average 357 per hundredweight over the week. And Saskatchewan heifer prices were mixed, but mostly higher compared to the prices available on April 12th. Heifers also had limited data reported, with prices available for just three categories. Average available prices range from 380-83 per hundredweight for the 5 to 600 pound heifers, down to 285-59 for the 800 plus pound heifers.
She says the continued strong prices were helped by lower supply, the Canadian dollar, and an upward trend in the futures market. The number of cattle marketed in the province was down to 8,830 compared to the 13,188 head marketed the previous week. Alberta cows, meanwhile, their prices continued to rise.
Yeah, more good news here. Alberta cow prices were mixed compared to the previous week. D2 cows averaged 179.81 per hundredweight, a price increase of 527 over the previous week. And D3 cows were down just 50 cents per hundredweight to average 162.29 per hundredweight for the week. Alberta cow prices were at record highs again compared to the previous week. The CanFax price for Alberta fed steers for the week ending April 19th was $256.49 per hundredweight, and this was a price increase of $6.02 over the previous week, and again, a record high for the second week in a row for that.
That's Fonda Froats, provincial cattle specialist, with the Cattle Market Update for the week ending April 19th. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM. Up next, we'll have a little bit of a look at what our neighbors in Alberta are doing as they got some plans for the possibility of drought this year. Again, you're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
You're tuned in to Sask Ag Today on your voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
This segment of Sask Ag Today is brought to you by Degelman Industries. Look to Degelman for the most reliable, dependable, engineered tough equipment on the market. In Arcola Building Supplies, small town lumberyard, big on service. ArcolaBuildingSupplies.com. Some regions of the prairies received more rain or snow this past weekend. Certainly not enough to counteract a couple of years of drought, but it was certainly welcome. For months, the Alberta government has been talking about creating water sharing agreements to make sure there's enough to go around in the event of another drought this summer, especially in those areas of the province that rely on irrigation for crops like potatoes. On Friday, the government announced the largest water sharing agreements in the province's history. They will come into effect if the situation worsens this summer. This is Alberta Environment Minister Rebecca Schultz.
The key is that we base these agreements again on water levels that were last seen in 2001. We now forecast to have more water available this year, so these agreements will only be implemented or activated if they are needed, and they will be regularly adjusted as drought conditions change. These agreements are designed to be proactive, agile, and flexible enough to be adjusted in real time as we see conditions change. Specific commitments are laid out in each one of the MOUs, which are designed for the water users in that specific area. However, generally speaking, municipalities in these basins have agreed to voluntarily reduce their water consumption by 5 to 10%. The exact amount will vary by community and, of course, on drought conditions as they change.
Those farmers in southern Alberta that rely on irrigation were already told earlier this spring their allotment is going to be trimmed by half. Alex Ostrop is chair of Alberta Irrigation Districts Association.
When it comes to water this year, we must all do with less. The water allocation for irrigation farmers in the Old Man Basin and the upper tributaries of the Old Man this year, which includes my farm, is currently set for 8 inches. To put that number into context, it takes about twice that much water to grow a crop of potatoes. And typically, we would expect between 16 and 18 inches of water allocation. As you might expect, this 8-inch allocation will have a significant operational and economic impact on each affected irrigation farmer. And they have spent the spring making tough decisions with respect to cropping and rotation. But irrigation farmers are a resilient bunch, and they've learned to adapt. And this is not the first time that we have faced water shortages. We have continually invested in efficiency and sustainability improvements, both on farm and at the irrigation district level. We irrigate more acres with less overall water diversion than we did 30 to 40 years ago. The highly efficient irrigation district infrastructure that we enjoy today exists due to the partnerships forged in our communities and with all levels of government. We recognize that we are facing significant challenges. The wet and dry cycles, as well as individual weather events, will become more extreme. We must continue in adapting to this new reality, and we must continue to seek partnerships with respect to how we manage this precious resource.
That's Alex Ostrop, chair of the Alberta Irrigation Districts Association. We'll take another break here. Up next is the market update, followed by the livestock report. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on the Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
Here's the market update with Ryan Young on 620 CKRM.
Market update is brought to you by Nelson GM in Assiniboia and Avonlea. Looking for the perfect vehicle? They'll find a match that exactly fits your agriculture lifestyle. Proudly serving southern Saskatchewan for over 60 years. Grain prices at Viterra were up in early trading today. Durum is up 20 cents at $3.96.56 a metric ton. Canola is up $2.80 to $6.01.22. And number one red spring wheat is up $2.74 at $3.17.68. And the rest were unchanged. Feed barley $2.32.58. Chickpeas $9.92.08. Flax $6.29.54. Lentils $7.87.50. Oats $2.71.32. Yellow peas $4.74.72. And feed wheat $2.33.45. On the Minneapolis Grain Exchange, hard red spring wheat for May is up 4.5 cents to $6.60.25 a bushel. Up next is the livestock report.
The Sask Ag Today Livestock Reports on your Voice of Saskatchewan, 620 CKRM.
The livestock quotes are brought to you by the Weyburn Livestock Exchange. Call Weyburn Livestock at 842-4574. Now here are the latest livestock quotes.
This is the market report for the Weyburn Livestock Exchange for the week of April 23rd. Our last regular sale was on April 10th. D1 and D2 cows sold from $1.64 to $1.87. D3 cows sold from $1.45 to $1.60. Canner cows sold from $1 to $1.20. Heiferettes sold from $2.25 to $2.65. And good butcher bulls sold from $1.92 to $2.07 with the odd sale to $2.18. We had our last pre-sorted calf sale at the spring run on Monday. day. 300 to 400 pound steers averaged $3.85 and sold at the $4.37. 400 to 450 pound steers averaged $4.41 and sold at the $4.66. 450 to 500 pound steers averaged $4.31 and sold at the $4.66. 500 to 550 pound steers averaged $4.32 and sold at the $4.60. 550 to 600 pound steers averaged $4.09 and sold up to $4.46. 600 to 650 pound steers averaged $4.07 and sold up to $4.22. 650 to 700 pound steers averaged $3.81 and sold up to $4.14. 700 to 800 pound steers averaged $3.57 and sold up to $3.88. And 800 to 900 pound steers averaged $3.19 and sold up to $3.57. Heifers were 35 to 50 cents back from the steers. Some of the highlights from the sale were a load of 600-pound black steers at $4.22 a pound, a load of 650-pound black steers at $4.14 a pound, and a group of 700-pound black steers at $3.88 a pound. We also had replacement heifers from Rattan Holdings and Reserve Creek. Their 790-pound black heifers brought $3.17 a pound, 840-pound black heifers at $3.13 a pound, and their 815-pound red heifers at $3.17 a pound. This has been Stephanie Digg reporting from the Weyburn Livestock Exchange, the market that gets cattle and the prices too.
Now here are the latest pork prices.
This is Bill Alford with the Hams Market Commentary for Tuesday, April 23rd. Hams sold 7,800 hogs Monday, selling a range of $221 to $235 per CKG. Today's sales are expected around 7,700 head, selling a range of $220 to $237 per CKG. Hams and breast sows this week are down, selling in the range of 54 to 61 cents per pound live weight. Hams cash hog price today is mixed and forward contract prices open higher this morning. On Monday, the Canadian dollar was up 17 basis points, with the daily exchange rate at 1.3715. The Canadian dollar is currently trading at 73.24 cents U.S. Lean hog futures started this week where they left off last week, a continuation of the recovery in price for all periods. However, revealed in the recent price trend is a growing skepticism by traders that the fall and winter contracts can maintain the same relationship to the summer prices that we have seen in the recent years. The recent price rally for the October and December contracts have been half those of the July and August contracts. In the last 3 weeks, lean hog futures have experienced some extreme volatility that saw summer month contracts rally by 8% of its value, drop the same amount, and then recover about half what was previously lost. Volatility or large price swings have a tendency to attract attention, which can lead to even larger price swings. As hedgers, producers can benefit from these large price swings, as it can create pricing opportunities that may not have arose without the new market entrants. That's why the large fund traders that often contribute to volatility can work in favor of the producer if you are willing to secure a portion of your price in the forward market as opposed to taking the cash price when you deliver the hogs.
And a reminder that you can check out all the latest ag information on saskagtoday.com. There you will find all the latest information related to crops, livestock, as well as the saskagtoday.com roundtable with Doug Falconer and Chief Agricultural Editor Kevin Hirsch, as we discuss not only the topics we've covered over the past week, but also a look ahead to what we're going to be following in terms of ag stories. Another key feature of the website is also the unfiltered section, where you hear what we hear as we talk with the who's who in the ag sector. They're raw interviews, so you can hear it right from the source. Coming up next is the Resource Report. You're listening to Sask Ag Today on 620 CKRM.
It's the Sask Ag Today Resource Reports on 620 CKRM. Here's Ryan Young.
Now the Resource Report, brought to you by Mazank Fuels, your local branded Petro-Canada wholesaler serving southern Saskatchewan for over 40 years. Fill up the tank, call Mazank, 306-721-6667. The federal labor minister has appointed an industrial inquiry commission to dig deeper into the underlying causes of BC's paralyzing port strike last July. Seamus O'Regan says the commission will be headed by veteran mediator Vince Reddy. Reddy was tapped during the two-week strike to mediate a deal between the International Longshore and Warehouse Union and the BC Maritime Employers Association. The Inquiry Commission will present its findings next spring. On the markets, the TSX is up 169 points at 22,041. The Dow is up 309 points to 38,549. Oil is up $1.18 at $83.08 per barrel. And the Canadian dollar is trading at 73.20 cents U.S. And that's the Resource Report. If you missed any segment of the show, you can tune in to the on-demand Sask Ag Today podcast, brought to you by Gowan Canada. Gowan Canada understands the challenges growers face and takes pride in finding effective crop protection solutions. Visit GowanCanada.com to learn more. And that's going to do it for Tuesday's edition of Sask Ag Today. I'm Ryan Young. Have yourself a nice day.
This podcast brought to you by Gowan Canada, makers of Edge Microactive Pre-Emergent Herbicide.